Black Family Leisure.
Now, live from the WAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, it's all right there. Also, the live video feed, the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you along for the ride. On a Thursday, feeling all right. Say what? Do. Terry, what's going on? You good?
Just fine. How are you?
You making it happen?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
But are you getting it done?
Yes. Hello. Every day.
Were we surprised by the announcement from the White House?
I was. I wasn't expecting that one today.
Yeah. Very interesting. We'll talk about what we're talking about. Turns out Bigfoot has a sweet tooth. Who knew? Did not know. And is the dad bod out? I like that. Let's talk about it. Come on. Wow. Come on.
I'm not feeling too good myself.
You know, the people love the harmony.
Yes, sir. Feeling all right.
Like a third up. You go up a third.
I'm not feeling too good.
What did you say? Why are you trying to crack me up while I'm trying to sing a song here?
Sorry.
What did you say? We could get some? Is that what you said?
You said the people like harmony. I said I wish
they
we could get some.
Yeah. Wow. Tell you what, I'll play the second verse and you can sing it. Go ahead.
No, I'm good. No, thank you. Nope.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kerry Lockie and some harmony.
No, not today.
It's easy to snipe, isn't
it?
Easy to snipe.
Maybe tomorrow.
Easy to snipe.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. You sing tomorrow. That'd be great.
I think the people want to hear that. Maybe.
No, actually, it sounded like you said you were definitely going to do it. It sounded like 100%
I said maybe.
It sounded like you were in.
Probably won't.
And by the way, you're working tomorrow, although it's rare on a Friday.
I will
take a long time off because you're going to be horribly tired
to go on
after tomorrow.
Yeah.
No buying trucks.
Not next week.
You're on vacation.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'll be good.
You'll be buying trucks.
I'll be good.
So there's a lot going on. Sarah Sanders is leaving. I'm not surprised. Well, I mean, I'm surprised at the timing. You're right about that. I'm not surprised because people were saying that she was leaving last December.
True.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Press secretaries normally
don't last a whole long time anyway, really,
right.
Do they? I mean, it seems it's a revolving door. Not just with this administration, but with everyone else.
Well, you had Scaramucci lasted 36 hours, which was...
I know.
then we had him on here. We have to have Anthony back on.
Spicer didn't last very long.
Right, Spicer, you know, he was there a little while. But Sarah Sanders has weathered a lot of storms. We'll talk about her. We'll talk about the legacy she leaves, and we'll opine about who we think should take over. But let's start with something different. As you know, I don't have the dad bod.
Mm-hmm.
I did not give in to the pressure. Don't me.
What? I'm saying,
although you have not seen me shirtless, for God's sakes, thank God.
No.
But you have seen me in a tank top plenty of times. I do not have a dad bod.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but what I find to be the definition of a dad bod.
What do you think a dad bod is?
Sort of like a mudslide. It's like a mudslide.
Which would be...
Not necessarily fat, but there's not a whole lot of definition. It just sort of slides. Just sort of slides from the top to the bottom.
I see. Okay.
You know what I mean? You know where I got that term, to be honest? From there were football players who described Dan Marino in the locker room. Now, again, Dan Marino, my favorite quarterback ever, Miami Dolphins, one of the most prolific passers ever to play the game. But you would think he'd be this big muscular guy, and his teammates were like, no, he's more like a mudslide.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting. I never heard that before.
Well, think about a mudslide. Like, look up a video on YouTube of a mudslide.
Yeah, okay.
Just sort of rolls right on down. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
I do not have the mudslide going.
Mm-hmm.
I at least have a keg, if not a 4-pack. We're working on the 6 or 8-pack. I definitely have a keg. So the dad bod craze, I never understood it. And I felt like it was, this is what happens to men's bodies at a certain age. When their father is generally speaking, I guess, and just accept it. That's what they do. And let's all glorify the dad bod. You know what I mean?
It's like
we had Abby Pell on, who is a fitness model from England. Remember when she did that picture, that meme?
Yes.
And she had like a 6-year-old daughter and she's got an unbelievably like no fat on her body at all. Just a great, great fit body. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she puts out a meme. I've got a 6-year-old daughter or something like that. What's your excuse?
Right.
Yes, exactly right.
Yeah.
And we actually had a call in from England. And we had this big discussion about it because, and by the way, she didn't care. I mean, Abby don't care. She just let it roll off her back.
Yeah.
But we've gotten into a place in society, not just here in America, but across the spectrum, where we say, if you're out of shape, we should celebrate you.
Don't fat if shame got me. The
Right. If you're 50 pounds overweight, that's fat shaming if you bring it up. Mm-hmm. If somebody says you might die if you don't get this, that, or the other, you know, in order in your health, you're health shaming. And now we've got, didn't we just have the Sports Illustrated? Not only did we have a woman in a hijab. Yeah. You know, what do they call it? The burkini.
That's right.
And we also had somebody who was about 50 pounds heavier, if not more, than you would expect a bikini model to be. And you can't say anything negative about that because we have to celebrate the largesse. We have to say that's great. So with dads who are working their faces off, look, I'm not denigrating anybody who's not in tip-top shape. I'm not in tip-top shape. I work on it, but I'm not. So it's not me saying mean things about the dad bod craze. I just didn't understand why we're always trying to give an excuse for, because even if you're working 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 hours a day, and then you have time with the family, whatever else, you could probably find 15 or 20 or 30 minutes a day to walk around a block. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course you could. Yeah.
I think you could do something. And I don't think that's exercise shaming. That's me saying, I'd like for you to live a good, long, healthy life. I'm not saying you're bad, I'm good, or anything like that. But I never understood the craze we have in this country to say, here's something that we know isn't as healthy as it can be, and you're eating what we know isn't as good as you could, and you're not exercising whatsoever, which is hurting your life, your tenure here on the planet. But we better not say anything wrong. We better actually say this is great. We love your out-of-shapeness or whatever it is. It's always been very strange to me. But Carrie, this has been the way it's been for, what, 5 years?
At least.
The dad bod is, like, celebrated?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people love
so
the dad
now,
bod.
Now, is this, did you find this story? Is this a Sam story?
I think it's Sam found it.
Okay. So we've got this where not only are we still telling men, don't work out, don't get healthy, don't get in shape, don't eat right, go under the knife. Mm-hmm. Is that really what we've probably
in New York,
we have graduated to that?
Is. Yeah, apparently.
All right, fill me in, please.
From Fox News, New York is shunning the dad bod. In New York City, the daddy do-over is a popular new trend among men of a certain age, according to the New York Post. The procedures typically include liposuction of the chest, abs, and flanks, sides, and back, the news outlet reported, for New York men trying to look good at work and on the beach. Dr. Alan Mataroso, president of the American Society of Plastic Surgeons, told the Post at around age 35, fat distribution in both genders changes even if your weight stays the same. At the American Society of Plastic Surgeons reports more than 1.3 million cosmetic procedures were performed on men in 2018, an increase of 29% since 2000. After having kids, your life changes, Mataroso added. Maybe you used to go play basketball every Sunday and burn 1,000 calories, and now you're at the Central Park Zoo on Sunday instead. Without those basketball Sundays, you could gain a pound a month, and it becomes harder and harder to lose it later in life. Some of my patients won't even put on a T-shirt. They tell me they feel like they have a B cup. As I'm recalling it, the daddy do-over. In 2018, according to the report, the most popular procedures for men were toxins and fillers, breast augmentation, liposuction, tummy tucks, nose jobs, and eyelid surgery.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Okay.
You know what
breast
I mean?
Augmentation, that's interesting for men.
There's a guy, and he'll be there tonight, who is a fan of the Golden State Warriors, I think, because he's always right there in the front row. And the Warriors tonight take on the Toronto Raptors. I am pulling for the Raptors, not because they're a Canadian team. I'm pulling for them because I like Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green. And I still don't know why Kawhi Leonard left San Antonio. I wish we could know. But there's a guy there who wears a shirt that's so tight. I would have to imagine he may have done the breast augmentation for men.
Really?
And no, Carrie, they're not augmented to look like women's breasts. No.
Well, I didn't it's think where, of that. Yeah.
I would guess it's where they outline the outer pec to try to make it look more like Arnold or whatever back in the day. You know, go to the gym and you can actually find those things there. They actually have those muscles available at the gym.
Probably a lot cheaper, too, I would imagine.
Right. Yeah. Or spend thousands of dollars to have silicone shoved in your chest to make it look like you're muscular, and you probably can't do a push-up. So here's what I'm saying. We still are in a position to where we're not yet saying, or you could eat less and jog. You know what I mean? Or you can eat less and I don't know, do some push-ups and some sit-ups. It's easier for you to say, Pat. Look, I'm 52, dude. Okay? I'm not 26. Although I do have the body of a 26-year-old. That aside. I was right in the middle of the monologue, and I was talking about
rudely
interrupted.
I had the body of a 26-year-old, I thought.
I don't know why you would jump in.
Okay.
I'm a really, really fit 26-year-old. But anyway,
okay.
So what I'm saying is, You don't have to go to the gym every day for a long time like I do. You don't have to go four times a week and try to eat right, low carb and all. I'm not pushing any of that on you. What I'm saying is your family, if you're a dad, it's when you have the dad bod. Although, probably it's somehow racist for me to say only dads have dad bods. I'm sure I have to say other people have the dad bod too.
Yeah.
You can't probably even call it the dad bod.
No, you
because
probably
it's
can't. It's the
toxic masculinity.
The
if you do the dad bod, it's
bod.
It's the non-binary bod. It's really what it is. Mm. It is the gender fluid bod. Ew. I hate the term gender fluid. It just sounds gross. Anyway, so I'm not here to shame you at all. I'm here to say your family wants you to live longer. I'm here to say you're supposed to live, 80, 90, 100 years old if you're eating right and you're healthy and if your genetics allow it. And you feel better and can enjoy your life more if you're not carrying 50 extra pounds around. Now, I just had an email from a friend who said, I'm proud of my dad bod. Well, God bless you. I'm glad that you are. And I'm not here to say that you have to change it. But if you decide that you want to change from the dad bod, which somehow was universally acceptable until today, and you want to go get plastic surgery to have somebody make believe that you're in shape, it's not making you more healthy. You're not going to live any longer. You're just spending a bunch of money. I'm not anti-plastic surgery. Do whatever you want to do. I mean, God bless you. I don't care. But at the end of the day, this is not a solution to being, somebody who eats like a pig or is unhealthy in what you do in life. Spend 30 minutes a day. Tell you what. Because, Carrie, I'm guessing that the breast augmentation for men is probably between $10,000 and $25,000.
At least.
Just venturing a guess.
At least. Maybe even
send
more than
me $5,000, and I'll call you every day and tell you to stop eating like a pig. What?
That's pretty good.
That would be helpful,
yeah,
wouldn't it?
Pretty good deal. Yeah.
I think it would be helpful. Plus, I get a nice little profit center for
no
me.
No kidding.
So there you go. It's 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. If you're a dude and you find yourself to be in the category of dad bod, are you now considering plastic surgery? And are you with me that we should probably be promoting healthy eating and healthy living and not either go under the knife or just accept your fat ass? Can I say fat ass?
Well, you did. You said it twice already, so I guess it's okay.
You know somebody's going to write me now. I can't believe you're calling out the fat people.
I know.
I'm not. Be fat. Love. Love your fat. Love fat. Love. Love fat. Hmm. So, I mean, do that. Enjoy. Have a good day. But when you run into health problems and when your life expectancy is lessened because of how you're living the life, don't look at society and blame us. And don't tell me you're going to go and go into the night. That's just dumb. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Your thoughts on this when we come back. Stay here.
You're listening to Joe Pags.
Before your head hits the pillow, hit up your smart speaker.
Alexa, wake me up with 1200 WOAI on iHeartRadio.
I set your alarm.
Hi, great to have you. Thought I'd come out and do something a little lighter. Although it's really not because it's about your weight. I don't know. So let me ask you this. I hear all the time that people think that I'm a friend of theirs because I really am. When it comes to this crew, Polo and Sam are pretty good. Carrie doesn't care about the people. I'm looking out for the people. And, that's just a fact. We've talked about this in our meetings a lot. And Carrie actually refuses to raise her game when it comes to Carrie.
Wow. What? Why are you being so mean? I know you're going to miss me next week.
Oh, I'm calling your ass every day during the show. You're going to take part.
No, I will not be answering.
I'm going to give you equipment to take with you.
No.
So that you can. Now, is it a staycation or a vacation? What are you doing?
It's a vacation.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow,
yep.
Somebody's making too much money. You can afford a vacation. I can't.
You should. You need to take
reassess.
One, too. Let's all take off
we
next week.
We've got to reassess. That's it. The whole show is just going to be off for a week. Actually, it can't. This week alone, 6 news stations. So we can't.
That's awesome. I'll be back, though. I'll be back.
Ooh, should I tell the stations or not?
Absence makes the heart grow fonder, right?
That assumes the heart was fond to begin with. What? So.
Man.
I'm just responding.
Mean.
So I said, tell me if you think this is rude or if I'm just being sensitive. Because, again, people think they're friends of mine.
Right.
And they think that everything's, and again, I do believe that, too. And I see people out and about. We're very nice to each other, and they're very sweet. Some want to take pictures. Some want to talk about issues. And I love it. Without
the people
who listen.
They really feel like they know you, and you are
right.
My friend. Yeah.
Exactly right. So I said that I've got the body of a 26-year-old.
Yeah.
Some fake name account. Has quite a few followers, but is following even more. Let me see what they stand for here. Let's see. Pro-life, Trump 2020, da-da-da. Okay, good. Somebody who's a conservative. Quote, body of a 26-year-old, they put my words in quotations, except for the hair coming out of your nose and ears, the presbyopia, whatever that is. What is presbyopia? Do we know?
I don't know. I'm going to look that up.
Somebody will look that up. P-R-E-S-B-Y-O-P-I-A. Presbyopia. People listening who know the answer to this. I'm just a doofus. I don't know what that is.
It's the normal loss of near-focusing ability that occurs with age.
Yeah, no, I can actually focus just fine. the receding hairline, which, yes, my hairline used to be a little bit different, but it's not like I'm bald or anything. But the permanent fungus in your toenails. Okay.
Wow.
The benign BPH. I don't know what BPH is. What is that, blood pressure or something?
I don't know. BPH.
And those knees that just aren't as cushiony as they used to be. I hear you. So, and I wrote back and I said, I get that you're trying to be funny, but I don't know. I think that just crosses the line a bit. I think that's rude.
Oh, well, I just looked at BPH.
What is that?
A common non-cancerous enlargement of the prostate gland.
No, my prostate is good. I checked it this morning. We're all good. What?
I'm sorry. I looked that up. Okay.
Yeah. Checked out my prostate. You know, I do the self-prostate exam. Usually a couple of times a week. I mean, what is wrong with, you know what I mean? What is wrong with people?
I don't know. What is this dude's problem? We're just having a little fun.
And then somebody else said, the body of a 26-year-old will give it back. You're stretching it out. Yeah, maybe with muscles. Why is that funny? Because if anybody said any of this crap about you, Carrie, I would be defending you. But you're laughing at it.
I'm sorry.
I am stretching out the biceps and triceps areas.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Fat guy. These are fat people sitting in their mother's basement.
Of course, yes. Do they have pictures on their old Twitter
accounts? No. Oh, no, there's no picture.
They're just trying to, you know, have a little funnier expense.
Yeah, it's very funny.
But, yeah.
Hey, at least it's benign. Thank God my enlarged prostate is benign. You jerk. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Let me go to the phone lines and say hi to Jim, who's in Minnesota. Jim, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, Joe. I'm 52, too. I don't know if I have a body just as good as yours, but I do work out. I do eat healthy.
Right.
And my life is much better off because of it. Now, one thing I've always been curious about, and I'm not trying to give anybody any ideas, but first of all, healthcare dollars, the majority of healthcare dollars are spent on, you know, heart conditions, diabetics,
right.
All things associated with, typically associated with obesity.
Right.
How come the Democrats aren't fighting harder to have the individual eat healthy, work out, live the lifestyle you live, you're talking about, in order to drive healthcare costs down?
Well, I think the reason is, and I mean, I'm not being facetious, I think that they want population control.
I'm not either.
No, I think they want population control. I think they want us to die earlier. And I think they want to abort more unborn children. I mean, there really is, the far left progressives globally believe that the world is soon going to be overpopulated and there won't be enough food for them or something. It's all very strange. It's the same reason why the Democrats or the left always say things like, we're going to run out of fish to eat soon, or global warming or global cooling is going to kill us all. They really are into this whole idea of population control. But let me say this to the first part of what you said. Actually, I got to hit a break here. Good call, Jim. I appreciate it. Well, I'll continue with that when we come back, because something he hit on early on makes a lot of sense. Keep it here.
JoePags.com.
Before your head hits the pillow, hit up your smart speaker.
Alexa, wake me up with 1200 WOAI on iHeartRadio.
I set your alarm.
Great radio stations across the land. JoePags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. Also, the live video feed. Make sure you stop by the website, joepags.com, joepags.com. Scroll down just a little bit. You'll see the email sign-up form. Just put your email address in there. It's a free newsletter that I send out every day. Sent it out right before the show. I also send out the Facebook messages. If you want, go to Facebook and then just click on send message. You'll be signed up to get a Facebook message. It's show topics, the interviews I've done. Like today, we've got Cabot Phillips, the media director from campusreform.org. He's next hour. And then we have Dr. Paul Kengor, who wrote a book about the relationship between John Paul II and Ronald Reagan and how that made positive change on planet Earth and why it was so important that he was actually Polish, the Pope. So we talked to him in hour three. We've got hour two is going to be Cabot Phillips. You would have known that going in had you just signed up for the email or for the Facebook message. I mean, Carrie, it's free. What's the issue, right?
I absolutely agree. I got my message.
I mean, mm-hmm. Come on. Mm-hmm. So the guy before the break makes a couple of good points. If you're for universal health care and health care costs are through the roof, much of it brought on by people not eating healthy or healthily, and people not managing their weight and people not exercising, why not? Like, I just had somebody tweet me. It was a very, very smart tweet. Why not, instead of giving all these free health benefits and all this free food, feel free to buy a bag of chips on the SNAP program. Why not let them use the SNAP program to go and get a membership at a gym? That would make sense, wouldn't it?
Okay.
Why not do that? Idea. Or something that's been bandied about for a long time. If you're going to give somebody free food and you're going to give somebody, you know, free heat and free electric and free internet and free everything else, maybe make them buy only unprepared healthy food. Because there are a lot of places now that are accepting the, what is it called? The EBT, the electronic benefits transaction card.
Right.
You can use an EBT now to go buy a prepared sub or a pizza. You can go and I've seen this. I've seen this with my own eyeballs, where somebody will use the SNAP card or food stamps back in the day for some stuff, and then buy some cigarettes and buy some steak and then buy some whatever else, and buy something that really outlined alcohol with cash. I'm like, well, wait a second. You have cash for alcohol and for cigarettes and for stuff that's prepared, like a prepared chicken or something. Then why don't you have money to buy yourself the basics and the necessities? So I've often said that we should have some sort of a program where we can audit those who are on entitlements. Entitlements are not owed to anybody. They're money taken from people who are working their faces off, managed by the government, and handed out to who the government wants to have it. So why not? Look, if you're going to do something that will benefit the people, stop giving them free crap and give them a membership to a gym. Or have them log, maybe wear a pedometer to show that they're actually exercising during the week to lessen the healthcare costs for us all. Why is it outlandish? Because there are some people listening right now go, oh, how dare you say I shouldn't get my benefits. Like, a guy just wrote me on Twitter, Kerry, I kid you not. He was angry at the last caller. He said, see, therein lies the problem. I was born with diabetes and I have type 1. He's not talking about type 1. It's an autoimmune disease, blah, blah, blah. He wasn't talking about those who have a pancreas issue and can't release insulin when eating naturally. Those folks obviously have an autoimmune disease. The people he's talking about are those like my father, my grandmother, who got diabetes late in life because they were eating like crap their whole lives. There's nothing wrong with that. And can I just say one last thing in my little rant here?
Oh, please.
Okay, just one last
please.
Thing.
Please, yes.
It's not always about you.
What?
Yeah, I know.
People automatically assume they're talking about
right.
me.
Yeah. Right. I'm going to get calls now from people. I'm going to get emails from people saying, how dare you say I shouldn't get my entitlements? I did. I earned it. Well, most people who get entitlements in this country didn't earn it. They're just getting it because the government, for some reason, took over benefits and charity. Never should have, but did. Now, will those folks still get help if the government doesn't do it? Yes. We're a very generous, very giving people. We're a benevolent society. We're good. So the idea that people would starve or be homeless or whatever if the government wasn't taking care of business is just not true. Faith-based organizations historically have always done this. The government was never supposed to be the charity outlet. It wasn't supposed to be. And by the way, they've mismanaged every bit of money they siphon out of our paychecks that they say is going to go for good. They mismanage it every time. So let's get real. But back to the subject, which is the dad bod, and don't go and get surgery to make your body look different. Go work out and do something. But I really like the idea of, if you're going to give a government benefit where it comes to the health of the people, don't give out free health insurance. Don't give out free food. Give out free memberships to gyms. And I've often said this, and I'll end this on the whole food stamp thing or the SNAP card thing or the EBT. If you're going to be a parent, that's two words, a parent, not a parent, the least you can do is make sure you can clothe, house, and feed your kids. I don't think it's asking much. That's where you start. If you smoke or have internet or are out there gambling or buying crap food, that's on you. Stop it. House, clothe, and feed your kids. It's not asking a whole lot. It's really not. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Let me go back to the phone lines. I've expanded it a little bit, Sam, so we'll open them back up. Let me go to line two and Richard in California. Richard, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, Joe, great to talk to you again.
Thank you.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on this whole dad bod thing. I'm like you. I'm going to be 54 in September.
Yeah.
And I have never, ever let myself get into a dad bod mode. I mean, you know, we grew up back in the 80s and 90s where everybody wanted to be hot, six packs, nice arms, nice chest, great legs for the ladies, buttocks. And all of a sudden, it's just like, you know, over these past few years, it's like, yeah, you look great just how you are. No, you're fine. You know, you shouldn't be ashamed. And for me, it wasn't just a healthy thing. You know, I've been blessed that I've kept myself healthy and no high blood pressure, diabetes, or anything like that, you know, especially getting into my 50s. But as an example to my kids, that they see, hey, dad does that. You know, we, you know, you pass that on to your kids.
That's a great point. No. I want to stop you there. That's a great point. The kids will do what you do. They'll eat like you eat. They'll see what you do. And they'll take that as an example. By the way, I had a dad bod when I was in my early 20s. I have a better body now than I did when I was in my 20s. So you're ahead of the game when it comes to that. At the end of the day, I felt horrible. I would wake up in the morning and I felt horrible. And I was 280 pounds. And it wasn't good. And I decided that either I could live long and be happy and be a healthy example and feel good in my clothing and maybe even in a bathing suit, or I could just get fatter and fatter and fatter and just let the so-called dad bod take over, something that for some reason was acceptable. Go ahead.
Exactly. So, but the thing is, it's like, it has to become part of a lifestyle, which a lot of people just aren't willing to do. And, you know, you see some of these people walking around in the mall and you see that they're, you know, they're overweight, and you look at their kids and you see like a 6 or 7 year old that's like 100, 120 pounds and you're going, oh my gosh,
yeah,
what are you doing? I mean, you're affecting their life as well.
I could not agree more. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. And the whole thing with the surgery, it's not a dad bod thing, but I knew this young lady who went and had lipo. She literally spent $10,000 in lipo to get some of those areas that she didn't like taken care of. And I kid you not, within 5 or 6 months, because she didn't change her lifestyle or anything else she was doing, she went right back to the way she was looking before. So.
Yeah.
What was that instant fix for? It's just ridiculous.
Hey, Richard, it's a great point. I appreciate the call, as always. I heard from my friend Dave, bodybuilder champion, and he said that he knows many people who went and had surgery to enhance this muscular area or this, get rid of this fat over here, and that, A, people who had liposuction, a lot of them would never have done it had they realized how long it was going to hurt and how long it would take to heal. And B, just like the caller just said, if you don't change your lifestyle, you're not going to change your body for good. I know people, Carrie, they've had this, gastro bypass surgery?
Yeah.
And it literally takes their stomach from the normal size, the actual stomach organ, and it makes it into about the size of an egg.
Mm-hmm.
So that you just can't physically eat more. Well, guess what? They still gain
the
weight back.
Eating. Yeah, unfortunately.
They stretch out that small stomach now, and you just had major surgery to detach this over here, tie that tube to this thing over there, have a different form and way for your body to deal with food, and you still didn't do what you had to do as far as changing your actual outlook when it comes to food, to intake, to health, to exercise. And again, this segment has nothing to do with shaming anybody. This is me saying, I want you to live a long, healthy, happy life for yourself, your family, and those who love you. And if you've chosen to do it a different way, I'm not here to stop you or arrest you or punch you in the face. I'm here to say, stop complaining and acting like we're supposed to say 300 pounds is healthy, because it's not, unless you're 7 feet tall. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Quick break. We'll wrap this up, and we'll also have, before the top of the hour, Carrie, I've got to have that story about Bigfoot.
Okay, gotcha.
I thought we were still confused as to whether Bigfoot existed.
Apparently.
But you're telling me not only does he exist, he's got the sweet tooth.
He does. Yes.
How do we? Did we call Mr. Foot and ask him? How does this work?
Well, there is somebody
who has seen
Bigfoot, and apparently who's giving him treats. Yeah. There you go.
Does the story mention the drug the guy was on?
No.
Okay,
it does
just
not.
Asking.
Nope.
All right. 888-941-PAGS. JoePags.com. Stay here.
Joe Pags.
HermanSonsLife.org.
What you need to face the day.
Traffic and weather every 10 minutes.
It is incredibly helpful to start my day off with this.
News Radio 1200, WOAI.
All right, great to have you. Welcome to the program, The Joe Pags Show. Off the top, we will do Trump tweets next hour. Carrie, that is a fan favorite, the Trump tweets.
People love it.
Sam, you beg me to do Trump tweets every day.
Yes, I just love it.
Paul, you don't care, do you? Why? Well, let's say sure. Sure.
I mean, whatever.
Sure. Come on, dude.
Whatever.
Polo's tired this week. For a little inside baseball, Polo will send me a list of the commercials, the spots that I have to do. And yesterday, what time did you send him yesterday? Like 9 or 10 or something?
11.
Maybe. Right. Was it 11? Because it'll only be 1 or 2 o'clock.
Yeah, no, it was 11.
I'm like, what the hell are you doing sending me this stuff so early? You're tired this week. You've been working, somebody's sick, and you're working extra, right?
Well, I mean, I worked on Sunday, and then I had to come in early yesterday.
Here? At the station?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you've been working on Sunday.
I mean,
you don't tell them what I say. Use the line I use. Carrie, you know the line, right?
What is that line?
Don't you know who I am?
Yeah, Polo would never say that.
You don't use that line?
No. I mean, somebody had to be here, so.
This is how steady Polo is as an employee, as a friend, as a coworker. Doesn't matter. He always just says yes. But you're kind of the boss of that department, so you kind of have to, don't you?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. If I couldn't find anybody else, I mean, there was no other choice but to.
Did you think to call Carrie? She probably would have covered it.
Couldn't.
Wow, he laughed. He laughed at that, knowing what the reaction
would
have been
funny.
On a Sunday. Hey, Carrie, it's Polo. Can you do me a favor? Carrie would be like, I am three boxes in to some wine.
Oh, stop it.
And that's at noon.
It is
888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Before we take more calls, and I will, I'm already getting reaction to some of the entitlement stuff that I said, which is expected. Carrie, you got to fill us in on Bigfoot. Now, again, I thought growing up, that Bigfoot was something that we didn't really have proof of.
Right.
Was sort of a legend. It's lore in this country, L-O-R-E. And it's sort of like the Loch Ness Monster. We just, you know, there's rumors and folklore and so on. You're telling me not only does he exist, but we know what he likes to eat.
That's right. And it's from Fox News. Even Bigfoot can't help himself and the cookie jars around. The legendary creature was reportedly spotted by a North Carolina woman in the woods behind her home, according to a WCNC report. While reports of the mythical creature in North Carolina are nothing new, it apparently has a taste for processed sugar and carbs. Mostly like candy cookies, they love peanut brittle, chocolate, peanut butter sandwiches, and Shelby resident Vicky Cook, they don't like apples and bananas. A cook was able to capture what she believed to be the creature on her camera, adding she's not quite exactly sure of what she saw and is still having trouble believing it herself. Sometimes I think this can't be real, she continued. It went in front of my camera. I screamed. I didn't know what it was, but that thing was tall. Sure. A cook noted the sighting started in March, and since then she's had 8 footprints, all in different sizes. This is a juvenile, but look at how long it is. She says that's a big, big print. After a busy 2017, 2018, gallivanting across the country, the legendary creatures had a slow start to 2019. And perhaps Bigfoot caught wind that baseball player turned loose cannon Jose Canseco was on the search for it, as well as UFOs. I did not know he was looking for Bigfoot. But
a couple of things are important here. First of all, I tried to get comment from the lady. Was it North Carolina?
Yes.
We tried to contact her for comment, but she's still in rehab. Secondly, secondly, has Fox News run out of stories to cover? Why is that a story they're covering?
Dude, I don't know. I saw this. That's a weird
And third,
story.
Why is Jose Canseco trying to find him? Is he going to
hit
Bigfoot with some steroids? What's going to happen there?
I don't know. And why
Carrie, what have I missed? It's like Bizarro World.
I know. It's kind of out there. Peanut brittle.
Somebody mad at me for talking about the fat people and get in shape and live healthy, live a long life. One rationale is this, and one tweeter who tweets me all the time, a very nice person, obviously a fan of the show, and I love you like a brother or a sister, says, well, there's no proof of that at all. There are some people 300 pounds who live to be 80, and some people who are in great shape who die at 40. Right, I'm talking about averages, and I'm talking about what is healthy compared to unhealthy. And if you're trying to make the argument that obesity is healthier than somebody who goes to the gym regularly or eats right, we're not going to have a really good, it's going to be a short argument because any doctor will agree with what I'm saying. Now, I'm not denigrating people who are overweight. By the BMI, I'm overweight. I'm not denigrating people who don't work out. I'm just suggesting that you do so you can live longer. This is not me saying you're a horrible person. This is me, I know, it's stupid because I'm a pro-life guy. This is me saying live longer and be happier and healthier. Carrie, how dare I?
Really? So rude.
Who the beep do I think
you?
I am?
Exactly.
Telling people to live long and be happy. Mm-mm. What an S-O-B. Sob.
What a jerk.
It's pronounced sub. You just wanted to say that. That's not the first time you said that.
And
nothing to do with this conversation. You just like to throw that in there. You're like, oh, it's a good opportunity to just throw this in there. Let me go to the phone lines and say hello and welcome to line one. Got to be James in North Carolina. James, what's going on? Come on, James, you're on. I don't think I hung up on him. Let me go to Helen in Minnesota. Hi, Helen. What's happening?
Hi. We're talking about eating healthy.
Yes.
We don't know what eating healthy is.
Probably true. I don't think we're teaching it anymore.
Yeah. No, we're not. I'm just about 80. I take no medications, no nothing. I was out cutting down trees yesterday.
Come on. I need some trees cut down. What are you doing? Come down here.
Are you kidding? I've got too many here.
I hear you.
I'm on the farm. But what I've discovered, I've done a lot of research on food only because I want to eat healthy. And there are a lot of things I've found that people tell us in diets that are healthy. And number one is you've got to eat close to the ground. In other words, the food that unprocessed food grown properly. For instance, if you want to have a steak, let's just say a good steak, you need to be very careful that that animal wasn't finished with what we call a corn finish, which means the last 3 to 6 months of the time before they go to market, so the meat gets marbled, is called a finished one. And
I gotta run, but you're right. I eat grass-fed beef, and it's much better. I'm with you, Helen. Thank you. Got to hit a break. We're back after this in the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with thejokers.com.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pag Show.
Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
All right, great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. Also, Newsmax TV, glad to have you along for the ride. The Joe Pags Show, coming your way on a Thursday. Feeling all right? Uh-huh. Say what?
Seems I got to have a change.
Sarah Sanders is heading out. She's not going to be the press secretary after, what is it, this month?
She's gone at the end of the month.
Imprisoned by the way.
Man, she's done a great job. We'll talk about that certainly. We'll talk about the left pretending to be up in arms about something the president said on Twitter. We will actually bring back some Trump tweets so we can go over that. Bottom of the hour, Cabot Phillips from campusreform.org. Make sure you stick around for him. But right now, we sing. Come on, Carrie, sing for the people.
No, you can't. Yeah.
I'm not feeling too good myself. No.
Come on, raise your game a little bit.
Yes, sir.
Raise it.
Little harmony?
Raise your game.
I'm not feeling too good myself. No.
Wow, even growled a little bit on that one for him. Did you have a comment?
No. I just made a noise.
Okay, someone got a comment.
No, of course not.
Hey, nothing new for you, making a noise. So anyway, it's 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Feeling all right on Thursday because it's almost Friday. The weekend's almost here. Tomorrow is Carrie's Friday. We won't hear from Carrie until, what is it, September 6th?
I'll be gone a week. I know, you're going to miss me. And I know you're lashing out.
I threaten this every single time.
I know.
And I am lashing out. I'm lashing out that I have to deal with you so often, even with all the time off you take. So I always threaten this, but I'm going to do it this time.
What?
I'm calling you every day during break. And we're going to put you on the air. Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
I just checked. The ruling is yes.
I'm going to change my number.
888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. The president taking a bunch of heat because of something he tweeted. Nothing new there, right, Carrie? Now, have we decided, do we want him to tweet or not tweet?
I think that's just who he is, so let him be. He's going to tweet whether we like it or not.
I want him to. I just think maybe one more set of eyeballs before he presses send.
Mm.
Maybe just one more. And maybe make it Melania. Because she'd be like, dude, I mean, you don't want to send that one.
That.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I think if anybody has his ear, it's her. And again, I like the tweets because they get directly to the people. And whenever he is so-called attacking, when the left says he's attacking, he's really just responding to an attack on him. And I'm for that. But when it says confefe, and you press send?
Yeah. No, I'll look through
it. I want it to be muscle memory for the president to go, Melania, check this first. I think that would behoove him. I do. I think that would be a good thing. All right. So the president went on a Twitter rant about what he would do with information, damaging information on a Democrat. And the left is up in arms. And clearly he should be impeached because of this. It's almost funny now, isn't it? I mean, the president went to England, clearly should be impeached. The president had dinner, clearly should be impeached. The president likes hamburgers and Diet Coke. Clearly, he should be impeached. That's really where we are today with this whole thing. So let's open it. We haven't opened it in a while. One tweet, he actually says the word loco. I had no idea he said the word loco.
Did he really? That? Okay.
He did.
That'll be good.
I don't know. And I'll show the tweets on the screen for you, Newsmax, so make sure that you're okay with that. Let's do it. Let's go ahead and open it up. It is
Turn up me. Carrie Lockie, Calderwood, and every way we get it in. Brad's up in Watson, Michigan.
only got half of that.
Wow, but there was a lot in there. There was a lot in there. I'm pretty sure you were mentioned. Now, most times you are mentioned on Trump tweets. That's pretty good. All right, so let me switch over to the tweets. Let's start with the one on the bottom, which is from 11 hours ago. The Dems fight us at every turn. In the meantime, they're accomplishing nothing for the people. They have gone absolutely loco, or unhinged, as they like to say. So he's using the Spanish now in his tweets?
I guess so.
They've gone loco. All right, 10 hours ago, I meet and talk to foreign governments every day. I just met with the Queen of England, UK, the Prince of Wales, the PM of the United Kingdom, the PM of Ireland, the President of France, and the President of Poland. We talked about everything. Should I immediately call the FBI about these calls and meetings? How ridiculous. I would never be trusted again. With that being said, my full answer is rarely played by the fake news media. They purposely leave out the part that matters. When Senator Mark Warner of Virginia spoke at length in the great detail about extremely negative information on me, with a talented entertainer purporting to be a Russian operative, did he immediately call the FBI? No. In fact, he didn't even tell the Senate Intelligence Committee, of which he is a member. When Representative Adam Schiff took calls from another person, also very successfully, purporting to be a Russian operative, did he call the FBI or even think to call the FBI? No. The fact is that the phony witch hunt is a giant scam where Democrats and other really bad people spied on my campaign. They even had an insurance policy just in case crooked Hillary Clinton and the Democrats lost their race for the presidency. This is the biggest and worst political scandal in history of the United States of America. Sad.
Sad.
I can hear him saying sad. I can almost hear the sad. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can hear it.
So the president goes on his rant because I guess he was asked some loaded question that if he was offered oppo research on some Democrat who's running against them, would he immediately run to the FBI or would he listen to it or would he? And his answer was, I hear things all the time. He actually does say, if I feel as though it's important enough that the FBI needs to know, yes, I would tell the FBI. But they were trying to somehow say that he would work with foreign governments to get dirt on opposition campaigns and then, what, keep it to himself and use it and not tell the FBI. It's a hypothetical that's never happened. It's a hypothetical that they wanted to somehow play gotcha with him on, and it didn't work. Because there are verifiable instances, he mentioned too, Mark Warner and Adam Schiff. There are instances, specific instances, where we know that that opposition, well, pretend opposition research from pretend foreign operatives was being given to others, and they didn't say a word to the FBI. Yet, for some reason, as usual, this president is being held to a different standard. It doesn't make any sense. In fact, not only did Hillary Clinton get opposition research from a foreign entity, this guy Steele, not only did she get it from him, she paid him to produce it. And it's unverifiable. He even says that he can't verify it. Yet that was the reason why our government spent tons of money, lied to get FISA warrants, tapped Trump Tower, surveilled Carter Page and anybody he talked to, all over fake, ginned up, paid for foreign opposition research. That somehow the left doesn't even talk about. I'll give my friend Sean Hannity a lot of credit. This guy, I heard him today a little bit. He has a handle on this stuff better than anybody else I've heard. And what he says is verifiable and all backed up in fact. The left media isn't doing it. Carrie, did you see what CNN spent time doing? It was yesterday or the day before?
No, I don't think so. I did not watch.
Don Lemon was interviewing Jim Acosta for some reason. And again, they both work for the same company. One is an alleged reporter. Not really. He's a self-promoter. The other is just completely whacked out of his brain when it comes to Trump. You decide which is which. And they actually sat there and said, we are not anti-Trump on CNN. We're pro-truth, and we're unbiased. They spend time on that network talking about that and not about Hillary Clinton, her underhanded deals, her self-enrichment through Uranium One, about Christopher Steele. They didn't talk about any of this stuff. They were talking about, they were actually sitting on an alleged news program talking about how righteous they both are. That's wacky. As the president was
loco, loco.
I'll say it like Beto would say it, loco, loco Beto. I'm here to tell you, it's nuts. It's nuts. So where they're playing some game where they think they were getting the president, and how dare he say that he would listen to, of course you listen to it. Carrie, if I come up to you and I say, and I know we're not in the government, but I come up and I say, hey, listen, I heard this thing about somebody we work with or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or I heard this thing about somebody who really wants your job, Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
You want to hear it?
Yes. wants
of course
job.
You want to hear it.
Yeah.
And then if what I tell you rises to the level of a crime, then you take the next step by telling somebody, a police officer, the FBI, the CIA, somebody who can deal with this crime. Why would you do it before you hear it? And are you supposed to say, do not tell me?
No, who would do
Let
that?
Let me tell the authorities that you're about to tell me something that may or may not be a crime.
Everybody wants to hear.
Come on, dude. How stupid. How stupid is this whole thing? They keep on, every single day, they keep on trying to say, well, here's another reason why I should be impeached. Clearly, I'd prosecute him for obstruction. I think Beto actually said something stupid today about how he should resign or something because of what he said now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. I don't understand it. And I want to. So, question is very simple. Do you think the president should not have gone to Twitter and tweeted all this out? Is there a better answer that he could have given that maybe he shouldn't hear the research first or shouldn't hear the information first before deciding if he should go to the FBI? And by the way, the Department of Justice works for him. The FBI is in the Department of Justice, works for him. So he is the boss of them. I would think the boss should have the right, and he does through executive branch powers that every president has had. He does have the right to direct the Department of Justice or to tell the FBI about something he finds to be underhanded or criminal. It hasn't happened. It was a stupid hypothetical that blew up in the left's face. But they somehow tried to make hay out of it. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
All right, glad to have you. Kevin Phillips at the bottom of the hour. So about 11 minutes from now, he's from campusreform.org. They do an amazing job reporting what's happening on our college campuses. Plus, he was in Asia recently. And he gives us some insight into what the people in Japan and other Asian countries are saying about the president and about America. And it's not what the left wants you to think it is. So make sure you stick around. Plus, just some really dumb campus stuff, too. He's great. Make sure you stick around about 11 minutes from now. Let me go to the phone lines and the president being attacked because he dared say I would listen to opposition research and then decide if the FBI should be contacted and let in. By the way, the media is not responding or is not reporting that he said that about telling the FBI if he thinks that it's important enough to. They're pretending he didn't say it, but he, in fact, did say that he would tell the FBI if he thought that it rose to that level. Let me go to the phone lines. I appreciate you calling in. Got to be line one. And Eric in Michigan. Hi, Eric. What's going on?
Hi. How you doing?
Living a dream, man. What's happening?
Well, I'll tell you. You know, I get so sick of listening to that whatever the heck that thing is. I can't remember. That thing that they were having to search through, Democrats were wanting to look through, you know. What do you call that thing?
I don't know what you're talking. Are you talking about the dossier? Well,
yeah, that thing for the Russian scandal and all that stuff like that. You know, the vote messing with the.
Eric, I love you like a brother. Yeah, put it together. Give me a call back. We'll definitely make that happen. I don't think Eric was ready. I don't think he was ready to be taken. What do you think, Carrie?
Maybe not.
I think that he'll call back
and he'll
put his thoughts together probably do a better job than that. Because I don't want to, because I felt bad for him because he knew what he wanted to say. He just wouldn't put it together right.
Yeah.
Let me continue and go to Keith, who's in Delaware. Keith, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Living dream. What's happening?
There's a double standard going on with what happened with George Stephanopoulos' interview. And I'll tell you why. Back in the 90s, Bush Sr. was interviewed, and it was interrupted by George Stephanopoulos, and he was giving dirt to the interviewer that he received. You know, that is a double standard because, what Trump did is, you know, receive supposedly.
I don't know what you're talking about. George Stephanopoulos interviewed somebody or was being interviewed?
No. I'm sorry. George Stephanopoulos. Okay, here's how. Back in the 90s, Bush Sr., was being interviewed. I believe it was Larry King, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
But George Stephanopoulos, via the phone, gave dirt to, I believe it's Larry King.
Okay.
Who was doing the interviewing, and also going further. Now, Didn't Hillary pay Chris Steele to go to Russia to get dirt on Trump? And it resulted in, with bogus dossier, correct?
As far as we know, yes. She financed it, yes.
So that's a double standard, isn't it? And it's one more proof of that that they, you know, got caught lying what they were trying to, you know, say that Trump did.
Keith, I got you. I appreciate it. Open line now, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. And again, people are a little wound up. People want to be heard. I don't know that I think that people, I think that the two calls just now were saying kind of the same thing. Again, the dossier is fake. It's unverifiable. It's made up. The guy who made it up and presented it was paid to do so, was working for the FBI somehow, or is working with the FBI anyway, somehow was being paid by Hillary Clinton's campaign. Then they used this fake information that they all knew was fake to get the surveillance, to get the warrants, to go to the FISA court. It's completely deep state, underhanded, illegal crap. But they want to jump on the president for saying, yeah, I'd listen to what they have to say, and then decide what to do with it. I mean, it's kind of silly to not say, okay, I'll listen to it. Like I outlined with Kerry a little while ago. If somebody says, I've got something for you, you listen to it, then you make a decision. Not some hypothetical garbage from George Stephanopoulos. Let me go back to it and say hi to John in Kansas City. John, talk to me. What's up?
How you doing, Joe?
Living the dream, John.
Well,
help me out here.
I'm glad you're living the dream. I am, too. I'm not happy with the Trump administration. I'm not happy with taking aid from foreign governments, or even being willing to, and I'm not happy with him announcing it on TV that he's open for business to do that, and that he would be willing to listen to that, because he's going to solicit that, and I don't think our founding fathers wanted that.
Stop. You just said a bunch of crap, and I didn't get to respond. I don't know what you're talking about. The president can't say he's going to listen to foreign leaders. He can't say that he's going to meet with people in foreign countries. He should, put his hand up and say, stop. John, let me finish. Let me finish. Okay. So should he put his hand up in the middle of a meeting with Merkel and say, bap, don't tell me anything about Kamala Harris? I mean, is he really supposed to just tell them to stop? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about, he is. He's not supposed to take help from foreign leaders.
Well, okay, where do you get that? You said that twice now. Where are you getting that?
Well, number one, from the Mueller report.
What did the Mueller report say?
You guys keep saying on the radio.
Who are you guys?
You right-wing radio talk show.
Okay, so I'm just a generalized, generic person. I'm not an actual host that has my own thoughts. Go ahead. We're all not pretty much anything. You act like we sit around and collude. We don't. I didn't ask Sean what he was going to talk about today, nor Rush, nor anybody else.
Colluded with the Russians.
Okay, how did he collude? How did he collude with the Russians?
Well, you can just look on page 6 of the Mueller report.
The Mueller report says there was no collusion, so I'm not sure how you're finding collusion. John, this call is boring me. Get to the point. You want the president of the United States to put his hand up with Merkel.
Of the Mueller report.
Oh, my God.
There was a meeting between
you're nuts. See, this is the delusion of the left. This is the delusion of the left. You have no. Are you talking about the Donald Trump Jr. meeting? Are you talking about the Donald Trump Jr. meeting?
Yeah.
Okay. It's very simple to get you off the phone. All right, so here's the thing. Donald Trump Jr. was asked to meet with somebody, this lawyer, allegedly from Russia, because they had some sort of opposition research, which you're allowed to do. Hillary Clinton paid for opposition research that turned out to be fake. And then when he got there, she talked about Russian adoption. It wasn't about opposition research at all. There was no collusion because there was no information shared. You doofus, but thanks for generalizing me.
Fitness. Your kids may ignore you, but your smart speaker never will.
Alexa, play 1200 WOAI on iHeartRadio.
Great radio stations across the land, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of that and more right there. Also Newsmax TV. It's the Joe Pag Show. Glad to have you here. Really glad to have back my friend Cabot Phillips. He, of course, is the media director over at campusreform.org, Leadership Institutes. And Cabot, I've seen you on all sorts of network television recently. Your star's on the rise for good reason, my man. How you doing?
I appreciate that. I'm doing well. I was just overseas for 2 weeks, taking a little vacation. And you never appreciate America more than when you're out of it for a little bit. So I'm happy to be back home.
Yeah, what's interesting is I texted you while you were there and you blew me off. See, that's the kind of friendship we have. It would have been neat, because I know that phones are very different when you're over there and you probably didn't get the text that you got back. But it would be cool next time if you go overseas, like I did this with my daughter Sam when she was in Europe. Let's do some sort of an interview right from there on Skype or FaceTime or something. That'd be cool.
That sounds like a plan. That sounds like a plan to me. I bet you have some international listeners in Tokyo and in Thailand as well.
Oh, I got to tell you something. We have people in Afghanistan for sure. I know it's not the same region, but we do have people overseas. So, welcome back. I'm glad that you're safe. I enjoyed the pictures. You and I were talking before we started here, and before we jump into the nuttiness on campus, which there's plenty of it. Yeah. I'd love to know how the people there, because they see you look like you're European or American or something. You're other than Asian. And I'm imagining that they came up to you. What were they saying? Did they know automatically the way you walked and held yourself that you were an American or no?
It was pretty clear to most of the people there that we were American. And we had a lot of people come up. And it was interesting. It was about a week before Trump had come to visit.
Yeah.
And the city was buzzing. I'm telling you, it was buzzing. People came up and everyone wanted to talk about, President Trump is coming next week. Some people thought we were there with the Trump administration ahead of time.
Okay.
They said, no, we're not. But people all liked President Trump. They were all excited. They said, we can't wait for him to be here. It's such an honor. You know, he's a strong leader, and they're big on the, strong and the very, respectful culture. And everyone, seemed to like President Trump, which was interesting, especially because I was expecting what I've heard of, we're a laughingstock abroad. Everywhere you go, people are laughing at us. And that was not the case in Tokyo, the people I spoke to there, which was, I thought, pretty striking to see.
The 35 people running for the Democrat nomination all say that he's ruined our reputation internationally. We're the laughingstock of the world. Did you run into anybody who said, I'm sick of Trump, or I hate Trump, or we don't like Trump? Or was everybody sort of respectful, like you just said?
Everyone was either positive or they said, it's an honor that he's coming here. We're excited to have him. There was no one that spoke negatively. And I also think another aspect of this might have to do with President Trump standing up to China.
Yeah.
And I think, obviously there is long-term tension there between Japan and China. And I think that they respect a guy that's willing to stand up to China and say, we're not going to continue to take this. And whatever your opinions on the way he's handling that, I think that's another aspect of it that played into it. But no, it was a pleasant surprise to see just how wrong the narrative of us being a laughingstock was, and how excited people were to have him there, and also just to have us there as Americans.
Follow him on Twitter. It's at @CABOT_Phillips. And also follow him on Instagram. If you want to see some pictures from Asia, you're playing with the chimpanzee. Yeah. Now, what's up with you and your friends? Were you flexing? What was that one picture?
Oh, my siblings and my dad. We all try and outdo each other in the weight room, and we're flexing out at a big temple there in Cambodia. I should have had you there with your powerlifting poses.
Knock it off.
Joe might have put us to shame a little bit.
The next time you're in Texas, let's go throw some weights around. That'll be fun. All right, so great picture. It's a great trip. I love hearing what other people think about us. When I went to China now 8 years ago, they were all very, very into, or engaged, I should say, in the politics of it. Of course, they're getting one side of the story from their government. But when Obama and the Chinese leader were going to meet, and it wasn't this guy, it was the guy before him, that was the big deal. That was the front page. Whereas I didn't think that it was that big a deal. They did. That's what sort of ran the place. So I'm imagining that the politics of America, when that comes to their region, like you say, they all take notice. I mean, it seems like everybody is into it there, right?
Yeah, I think that's a huge thing. And there was actually one place we went in Tokyo that had Fox News on. So that was pretty funny to see that for them, they really do keep up with American politics. And so, again, I think that's part of it. And I couldn't help but realize just how false the narrative is. The more places I've been to 6 or 7 countries now, and every place I go, there's not this sense of, America's a joke, where they're laughing at us. It's everyone is, I think, taking note of what's going on in our country, how well we're doing. And I think, that narrative's just not true.
It's Cabot Phillips. He's the media director over at campusreform.org. Go and follow him on all the social media. All right, let's get into the nuttiness. You've got people playing, was it a video game? And somebody said something to somebody, and what, the RA was notified? What happened here?
So this is at the University of Maryland. A student had the police called on them because they made an offensive joke. Now, this is essentially an online video game, a card game that a bunch of students were playing together.
Okay.
And it was a fill-in-the-blank, sort of a Mad Lib, fill-in-the-blank situation. And all the students are trying to one-up each other and create the funniest joke. And one student inserted a joke that was a little too offensive.
Okay.
And the police were called. An RA walked by, saw the joke that was made, and rather than doing what a normal person would do and go over and say, come on, guys, that crosses a line, or just walking by and minding your own business.
Right.
The police were called, and so the student had a bias incident report, a hate bias report is what they called it, reported on the student. We reached out to the police department for comment. They confirmed the whole story. They gave us exactly the details. And again, I think this is what happens when you prioritize feelings over freedom, the freedom of speech in this case. And comedy, mark my words, you know this, we all know this, comedy is going to be one of the first things to be sacrificed on the altar of political correctness.
Yeah, but what's the charge?
We've already seen it happen.
What's the charge? He offended me? That's a crime? That's a violation? I mean, you're right. If somebody says something out of line, you step up and you say, hey, that's not going to work here. Or, dude, we don't really want you to play the game with us anymore. What can the police do?
Well, the police in this case, I think the RA was hoping they would come in and really reprimand them. I think, if anything, it's an example of how little the RA and some of the administrators there understand how free speech works.
Right.
But this is just the exact reason why we saw the New York Times just this week announce they're canceling their cartoon section. And for people thinking this could never happen in America, this is only in authoritarian countries. Our friends across the pond, in London this year, a man was imprisoned for teaching his dog to do the Nazi salute as a joke to mess with his wife. It's not a joke that I would do, but to throw someone in jail over something that's comedic in their mind is, again, that's where it happens. And it's really easy to think that could never happen in America. But just a few years down the road, I don't think it's that outlandish to think that the left could be calling for people to be imprisoned for making jokes that cross the line, in their words, hate speech.
I've had comedians on the show and I've asked that question. How can you be funny in 2019 America knowing that you're going to offend somebody with every word that comes out of your mouth? And luckily, there are some really good ones that still are, they can navigate it, but there are a lot that we'll never even try. And I think that we're missing out on some really good talent. It's Cabot Phillips at Cabot_Phillips on Twitter. Go follow him everywhere. He's the media director from campusreform.org. The next one is, somebody was reported for bias because they were watching a certain very popular young conservative's videos. Really?
So a student was in his own dorm room, mind you. The student was not blasting these videos throughout the whole campus. In his own dorm room, he's watching a Ben Shapiro video. His roommate walks in, sees it, is terrified because he thinks this must be some radical person. He's become radicalized to the alt-right. He's watching Ben Shapiro. Told his administrator. The administrator came in, filed a bias report against this student because apparently you're not allowed to have your own biases now in your own dorm room. And as a result, they offered the other student a chance for free to be able to move dorm rooms because he might be uncomfortable in the presence of. I can only imagine if the guy walked in and his roommate was watching your show.
Are you kidding me?
The SWAT teams would be in there breaking down the doors saying, this is too much bias. You cannot have this.
But because of the toxic masculinity alone, the people would have to call the SWAT team in. Dude, this is nuts. First of all, the fact that he said he was terrorized. I mean, think about that. I mean, that's a major word. Terrorism is a real thing. And it's not Ben Shapiro telling his truth on a video that 4 million people have seen. Seriously, there are people in your generation that are this snowflakey? Is snowflakey a thing? Are they really that bad that they'll melt if they see a video? He could have walked away. He could have said, put your headphones on. He had to get out?
They've been conditioned to do this, though. Rather than being a man and manning up and going to your roommate and saying, hey, what's with these videos? Or at least just letting him mind his own business, they've been conditioned to either, one, report these things to the administrators. They're viewed as heroes. The administrators view people as heroes if they fill out these bias report incidents. And also, I think it's hard to not think this is the case. Look at the front cover of the Washington Post this week, tracking someone's radicalization journey to the alt-right and showing all of these perfectly normal conservative channels on there, along with some other crazy ones, mind you, but lots of other normal conservatives on there they're saying are radicalizing. And so people really have been conditioned to believe that any conservative thought must be some crazy radical idea that is in need of being not learned from, but scared away from.
How did we get to a point, and this is rhetorical, obviously, where those of us who want babies to be born, those of us who want there to be a border, those of us who love the country, we're the radicals somehow. I mean, let that sink in. It is Cabot Phillips, media director from campusreform.org. I love these videos that you do. This time you went out and asked a simple question. Who do you trust, the president of the United States or which country? And what did people say?
China. So on campuses around the country, essentially, there are these Confucius Institutes, which are basically pay-for-play centers the Chinese government sets up on universities saying, we're just teaching cultural exchange. We're just spreading our culture on campus.
They should not exist. In my opinion, they should not exist. But go ahead.
They absolutely should not exist. Ted Cruz proposed a bill saying they should be banned. It's still in the process. Department of Defense says that they are a national security threat. They're spreading misinformation. But anyways, the Chinese government says, no, trust us. It's just culture. President Trump's administration said this is not just culture. This is national security threat. So I asked people, who do you believe, Trump or China? And everyone said, well, I trust the Chinese government. Trump would definitely lie to me. The Chinese government, though, they're telling the truth. So I went to these students and I said, listen, you're talking about a Chinese government that currently has 3 million people in prison because of their religion, in this case, for being Muslim. A country that imprisons journalists they don't like, that beats up people that protest against the government. You trust them? And because people have been so convinced that everything is worse than Trump, or that Trump is worse than everything.
Right, Trump bad, convinced.
If I have a choice between Trump or a communist regime, I'm going to have to choose the communist regime because I've already decided that Trump has to be the worst possible thing. And that's what happens. And it's a sad indication of just how far we've gone and how few people actually understand the reality of what's going on around the world and just how good we have it here. No matter what your opinion is of our president, we have it better than anywhere else in the history of mankind.
And by the way, we just had the 30th anniversary of Tiananmen Square, where 7,000 people, the ages of the people you just interviewed, were run over by tanks because they wanted freedom and to be allowed to worship God. 7,000. You know what the Chinese government says happened? One guy died because of an accidental ricochet of a bullet in Tiananmen Square. So these people, do they not know that?
They don't, because there's been a revisionist form of history that's taught in school. And because of the fact that this is a communist government, so many of these professors that support these communist, these Marxist ideas, they gloss over it. Or they say, well, it's misinformation. It wasn't really that bad. And I like to remind these students that the video I made, you can't see it if you're in China, because they don't have freedom there. One more thing to remind these people of just how foolish it is to trust the Chinese. And also, again, I think this is indicative of what happens when you don't teach history. And these students were completely unaware. I brought up Tiananmen Square. I brought up other historical examples of what China has done and why we shouldn't trust them. And the students just think, well, you know, I'm not really aware of that, so it must be exaggerated. Or they think, well, yeah, it's bad, but here is just as bad. And it is absolutely ridiculous. And again, it's an example of why we need to prioritize teaching current events, history, and the reality of what communism has done actually to the people of China and the people around the world.
China, the Chinese government has killed tens of millions of their own people simply because they could, and they wouldn't get in line. People need to learn that. Cabot, thanks for spreading the truth, man. I appreciate what you do and all the great correspondents, young correspondents over there at campusreform.org. I go there every day. Leadership Institutes, I call them the legacy media. That's why I almost said that. The legacy media is put to shame by you guys. The Leadership Institutes, campusreform.org, go there every day. Cabot, thanks a million. And keep on doing great work, man. Really good job.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
All right, back after this on the Joe Pags Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show. PERCH.com.
News Radio 1200, WOAI.
Hi, great to have you. Always great to have Cabot Phillips on. Folks over at campusreform.org are awesome. We appreciate him stopping by, dropping some knowledge. Really interesting to hear about the perception of the United States and of our president elsewhere. And don't get me wrong. I believe that many people there probably disagree with how he's doing things. And just as many, if not more, agree with it. But there's one thing that you see in what Cabot has to say, and I believe him, you should too, is that they at least respect the guy. They respect that he is the leader of the free world. They respect his strength with China. They respect his strength with North Korea. You know, when people in Asia are happy about the job he's doing, or at least the very least show respect, like the guy John in Maryland just has no respect. He's just making crap up about the dossier and the Mueller report, what it says, what it doesn't say, the whole thing. Totally was collusion, which is, of course, not what the special counsel found at all. But he needs to believe that, and he needs to somehow minimize me. I'm just one of you guys on the right, you right-wing talk show hosts. He can't at all have a discussion about what he's talking about. And then you go to Asia, and they show more respect for the president. I mean, John should be embarrassed. He's not, but he should be embarrassed. It's 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Next hour, we'll talk about Sarah Huckabee Sanders leaving. She's out, right, Carrie? Do you have an actual full story on it?
I do.
Did they do a full story on that or not?
Yeah, I do, yes.
I don't need it yet. Okay, we'll do that next hour, top of next hour. Also, we'll have Paul Kengor on. He is a guy who has written a book about the relationship between John Paul II and Ronald Reagan, the Pope and the President. What did they get done? And I also ask him, what would they think about seeing it unravel today? It is unraveling with a push inside of America for socialism. That's nuts. And what got us to the end of the Iron Curtain? What got us to the Berlin Wall coming down? What got us to free elections in Poland? We talk about all of that and then some. We'll start out with Sarah Sanders. I will ask next hour. I will ask the question. Carrie, I'll do it. I'll go there.
Okay. All right. Ready?
You know the question?
What question? What question?
Who should replace Sarah Sanders?
Okay. That's a good one.
And first and foremost, I agree with the thought process by so many people right now yelling at their radios and their TV saying, Pags, you should do it. I get it,
I
agree.
You
I'd be great at that. Saying something.
Who's saying you should be the next?
I don't know. Just finish a thought.
Who's saying you should be the next press secretary?
You do this at the house with the family? Do you ever let anybody speak?
I do, yes.
So a lot of people clearly are thinking, Pags or Pagsy, either way, you the man, you should do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, listen, I'm not available. I'm busy because why, Carrie? Because I care about the people.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Going to do a little radio.
And these, of course, are my people.
Yes. Yes.
So that's what we do.
Yes.
It is 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. D is in Indiana. D, what's going on?
Hi, Joe.
Hey.
I was listening to these dumb news channels on this Trump making this statement on the way. And I think the people are got things a little mixed up because I think he's answering the question as the president, not a candidate as president. That would make the whole thing a different situation altogether. So I think these people ought to leave our president alone and help him and let him get something done that those Democrats, if that's what you want to call them, I don't call them that nowadays,
right,
would get do something that they were put in office to do instead of all this garbage. I have never in my life, and I'm 81 years old, that I've never heard the government and all this crap going on like it is nowadays.
Dee, I hear you, and I think that you're onto something about him. Thank you so much, by the way. I think you're onto something with him having a different outlook as a candidate and as the president. Clearly, the role is different because the president is the boss of the executive branch. Therefore, he's the boss of the DOJ. He's the boss of the attorney general. He's the boss of the FBI. So, yes, there's a difference between somebody who is in that position and his relationship with the FBI and the DOJ, and somebody who's not in that position, who is simply a candidate running. I still think his answer probably qualifies on both sides. You listen to it first, then you decide if it's something you have to report. If not, you move on. Got to go on TV. We're back tomorrow. We continue on radio. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pack
Morning.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pag Show.
The Joe Pag Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land. JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. All right there. Also, the live video feed, the Joe Pag Show, coming your way on the Thursday. Feeling all right. Uh-huh. Hey, Carrie, that doofus John who called in earlier, last hour.
Yeah?
He's now tweeting me.
Oh, he is. Okay.
He has proved to me how... Well, I am, and there's one reason why, because he's proving that what I said on the air was true. He just doesn't have a clue.
Okay.
I will tell you the tweets in a moment before I block that ass. Before I...
BTA.
Block that ass. The first Grand Funk Railroad. Let's go. Come on. Come on now. The sad part is the guy's Italian like I am.
Gotta tell you,
he's extremely close. Yeah, he's a paisa. Goomba. Actually, he's something. He's words that I can't say in Italian on the air.
Oh, okay.
But he's one of those guys that his picture is like him with sunglasses on. He's like really convinced he's too cool for school. Not impressed. So for those who weren't listening, I'm happy to fill you in. John called in. Sam, was it Maryland or Delaware? He's somewhere there. Maryland or Delaware. I can't remember which one.
I think it was Delaware.
Actually, it might have been Kansas City. Now that I think about it. Let me see if he actually puts it in his profile. He does. He just started this Twitter so he could tweet me and be a jerk. I think it was Kansas City for some reason. That's jumping out at me now. It's not the first time John has called in. I think John called in the other day and he told you thought that he said that he voted for Trump reluctantly. Turns out he didn't vote for Trump at all. And he never would have voted for Trump. And Trump's the worst thing, you know, since Hitler. I think it's the same guy. But either way, and we love Kansas City. Love being on there. We do great in Kansas City. And I hear from people there all the time. And John can't get enough of the program. He just can't. Having said all of that, he called in just to give you a brief, you know, fill-in, just an update on what he said. He called in to say that the Mueller report proved collusion. He's trying to say it proved collusion because Donald Trump Jr. took a meeting with a Russian lawyer who didn't give him any information other than talk about Russian child adoption. So there was nothing to report about collusion there. Had there been some information shared and he didn't share it, then maybe I understand where John's coming from. But John is one of those guys that just hates Trump. And then he called me you guys and he generalized me and you right wingers and you right wing blah 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 and all this crap, right? Mm-hmm. So I was interjecting quickly and I was asking him very factual questions, and him lumping me in and generalizing me is one of my least favorite things. So I always go right at him when they do something like that. He lost horribly and I had to hang up on him because the stupid was starting to hurt my face. Carrie, is that out of line to say?
No.
Okay to say or not?
No, I probably thought that too. Yeah.
Okay. So he started on the Twitter, where he started a Twitter account just to troll me. He's going to be blocked
in a
second.
Seriously.
Yeah. No, I mean, honestly, he has zero followers and he's following four people.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I lump all you right-wingers, radio hate spreaders together because all you do, or you all do exactly the same thing. You childishly call people names. Well, you are an idiot, John. I just thought I'd interject that. You defend Trump at all costs, even when it's proven in the Mueller report he obstructed justice. You are all hypocrites. Well, actually, no, it wasn't proven. The Mueller team, mostly if not all Democrats, investigated, turned the investigation over to the attorney general, who then gets to decide if there was or wasn't obstruction. The attorney general, who is a man that before he became the attorney general for this president, was held up on high by everybody on all sides, says there is no obstruction of justice, so therefore the president was cleared. John, if you were a little smarter and had an IQ a little bit higher, you probably would have known that. But since you can't tell the difference between Hannity or Rush or me, then I'm guessing you're not that smart. Carrie, it's a good guess, right?
Probably so.
And by the way, also doing what I'm doing right now, it's always a double-edged sword because John is that guy. Just by his picture, he's that guy that wants to be talked about on a national radio show. Mm-hmm. You'll notice I'm not saying his last name, and I'm not going to give him, what he wants, which is national recognition. I won't say it. And in fact, Sam, make sure you block that number. I don't want a clown like that to get through again. But having said that, if you want to disagree with me, I welcome you. I want to have that discussion. John isn't that guy. John is a guy who is so deluded and indoctrinated in his hate for anybody who is correct but happens to be on the political opposite side as him. He has to attack, lump them in, stereotype, and be a bigot. He's actually a bigot when it comes to people who are conservative in values.
BTA.
But that's what John said. You figure he's done, right?
Yes, I'm assuming not, though, right? He has more to say. Sure.
Oh, no, John came back because John now, with his really stupid picture, and again, it's just stupid, honestly. He's actually, there are a bunch more. Oh, boy, I ignored most of his tweets, which are just stupid. Have I mentioned that I believe he's got a really low IQ?
You have. Yeah, you have.
I don't know if I went there yet and mentioned that. But he added this one. Also, this is how intelligent the guy is. Your parodies suck. No talent in the writing department. I could do better with my eyes closed. Ask me to share my Hannity insanity rap, and I will. I mentioned Levin and Rush. Sorry you didn't make the cut. So John, the loser, actually...
Come on now.
Thinks he'll call the show.
Mm-hmm.
Say ridiculous things that don't make sense. He screwed up on the show and said collusion when he meant obstruction. He couldn't even get that right because he's not very good on the radio. And now he insults me on Twitter. I guess there are four or five tweets just insulting me. But the last tweet, and Carrie, I'm not even kidding. He wants me to hear his song that he did.
Yeah.
And probably thinks I'll play it on the radio.
Won't be happening.
This is a level of delusion that I don't know that I've ever run into. He legitimately thinks, after telling me my parodies suck, that I want to hear his sorry ass do a rap about Hannity. I'm not even kidding.
That's out there. That's bold.
Should we have a block party?
Yeah, let's do it. Do it.
Do a block party?
Yep. BTA.
Okay, so should I do, because I normally do hashtag by Felicia. Should I do by Felicia? I'll do hashtag by Felicia.
Okay.
And hashtag what, block party?
Yeah, there you go. That's a good one.
Block party and hashtag BTA.
There you go. It's got to go.
Do I want to hear his Hannity insanity rap?
No. It's funny.
You know what I mean?
Funny. Yeah. Just the nerve of some people who do that and who call the show and try to put you down and they go to social media and do the same thing. But I have this song and I'll play it if you ask me to. No.
He really thinks that we're somehow friends that just had like a big fun time on the radio.
Mm.
No, John, I want you to understand. I really think that you're not smart. Smart people can make an argument. Look, you want to make an argument about collusion or obstruction, I'll hear you. But when the actual document from which you're reading or that you're telling me to go and read, when that document actually says there is no collusion or was no collusion, and you're trying to use that document to prove that there was, I can't think of a better word than stupid.
Stupid.
Okay, so I've said block party, and I've done hashtag
BTA.
BTA. I've done hashtag okay. By Felicia. Should I actually officially do it now?
I think you should. It needs to happen.
Here we go. He gone. Okay, there you go. That's it. Wow.
There you go.
Well, a cloud of stupidity has just lifted off of me. It was on me, and now it's gone. And now, by the way, there are people listening and watching right now who are actually thinking to themselves, well, he really shouldn't call people stupid. That's not nice. No, I only call people stupid who I really think are stupid. I mean, Carrie, the word is defined, isn't it? The word stupid is a viable word, isn't it?
It is, yes. Yes, it is.
If you look it up in the dictionary, you'll see his stupid sunglass picture right next to the word. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Give us the story of Sarah Sanders, please. And I want to open the phone lines and ask people a very simple question. Who should replace her? Go ahead.
From Fox News, President Trump announced Thursday on Twitter the White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders will be leaving her position at the end of the month. After 3.5 years, our wonderful Sarah Huckabee Sanders will be leaving the White House at the end of the month and going home to the great state of Arkansas, Trump said. She's a very special person with extraordinary talents who's done an incredible job. I hope she decides to run for governor of Arkansas. She'll be fantastic. Sarah, thank you for a job well done. And the president has not yet named a replacement for the position. Trump's announcement came moments before he made remarks at a White House event on its Second Chance program, boosting hiring of criminals who have served their sentences. We've been through a lot together, and she's tough, but she's good, Trump said at the event Thursday. Sanders called serving the president an honor of a lifetime and said she couldn't be prouder of the administration's work. I've loved every minute, even the hard minutes, Sanders said at the event, calling her role the most special experience of her life, the second only to being a mom of three. Sanders later tweeted, saying she is blessed and forever grateful to @RealDonaldTrump for the opportunity to serve and proud of everything he's accomplished. I love the president and my job. The most important job I'll ever have is being a mom to my kids, and it's time for us to go home. Thank you, Mr. President.
Now, will she go home and make the fake pies again?
Oh, good grief.
Remember April Ryan? I mean, what on earth makes that okay? I mean, she wasn't kidding. It wasn't a joke. Yeah. She really was alleging that Sarah Huckabee Sanders lied about making her own pie that she brought in to, I guess, have the press corps share or something.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, that's the delusion that I'm talking about. You've got people walking around who are willingly acting like imbeciles. And it's acceptable in this day and age. It's just, it's okay. I mean, you heard what Cabot said last hour, right? He's on a campus asking people, who do you trust more, the Chinese government or President Trump? Mm-hmm. Carrie, they to a person said the Chinese government.
I know. These are crazy times. Crazy.
You better take a week off next week to think about it.
I think I will. Oh, it's a great
going.
Idea.
See how it's
great
weighing
idea.
On you.
Yes.
You're going to, let me
I
tell you
that
this.
Cloud
by Tuesday. Whatever. The cloud of stupidity was only on me today. It was not on you. You did not have the cloud of stupidity. Shut it. It's 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Quick break. Your thoughts on who should replace Sarah Huckabee Sanders when we come back. Stay here.
You're listening to Joe Pags.
To me.
Hi, great to have you. It's the Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. All the social media is there. Make sure you scroll down and sign up for the newsletter. It's free. Free. It's free. I forgot to try to press the button. Free. So there you go. It is free. It doesn't cost you anything. What's your problem? Why can't you go get my free newsletter? Why are you being a newsletterist? Why are you a newsletterophobe? It is 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, I think, has done an amazing job in the face of adversity, in the face of a very biased media, in the face of a media that has treated her like garbage, in the face of people telling her she can't eat in a restaurant because she dares have a job with the administration, something nobody would ever, ever have said to an Obama administration member, an administration that had no transparency, that was riddled with scandal, an administration that everybody kissed their rear ends and their rings, and they really took this country in a very strange direction. Sarah Huckabee Sanders has been strong through a pretty bad storm, to be honest with you. And we thought she was going to leave last December. She ended up staying longer. She's going to be leaving at the end of this month. And I really appreciate the work she's done. Let me find out. I wonder, Carrie, have you got somebody off the top of your head?
Oh, wow. No, I haven't even thought about it, No, you did not come to mind. I don't know where you're
getting
that.
Let me ask you something, all honesty. I want to see if you're going to be honest.
What?
How do you think I would do as press secretary? I know you got to be nice to me right now because you know the truth.
I know. I hate to give you compliments.
Be careful how you worded it. It might come out sounding nice.
I know. I think you would kind of follow maybe Sarah Sanders' pattern with that. And you would shoot from the hip and be very honest and not take any crap from some of the journalists in that room. So
careful, you're getting close to it.
That's all I want to say. That's all I want to say.
How do you think Acosta would take it if I became the
director? Oh, my goodness.
That would not go well for Jim.
His head would explode. Yes.
Jimmy wouldn't be okay.
No.
I would have it be like a phone call with John last hour. It would not go well for Jim Acosta.
Would not.
I don't know. I don't know who comes to mind. I mean, somebody was suggested to me on Twitter, and I think it's an interesting choice. Candace Owens. I think she'd be very good.
Wow.
Because she's very good under pressure,
and
she's got very good answers about being a conservative and so on.
I think that
would be interesting.
That's such a high-pressure job, especially with this administration, and dealing with these angry journalists. And I'm using my little finger quotes when I do that. I can't imagine. You know, she's been in there since, 2017. I don't know how long, what month she started. But that is a long time to deal with that stuff. I don't know how she's lasted
this
long.
When you do air quotes, can you do me a favor and do it right and use both hands? You can't just do one hand.
Excuse me, journalist, okay?
I was talking to Gia, my 10-year-old, earlier today. And she came up, and I forget what it was even about. She spent the night somewhere, and I was like, hey, how'd it go? It went pretty well. And she puts her hands up and does the air quotes over words that didn't even need air quotes. I'm like, why did you do that?
I guess that's a thing with kids. I don't know.
She said, I don't know. And then I put my hands up, and I said, why? And I did the air quotes. And then she said, I don't know. And then we were doing, it was the air quote conversation with my 10-year-old.
That's funny. That's cute.
So why? Because I think that she watches some kid show on YouTube or something.
They do
and
that
they
a
must
lot.
Use the
they
air
must. I'm sure.
I guess.
They do.
Yeah. But I've never seen somebody. Listen. Thank you for the almost compliment. But can I just say this? You know, because you know I'm an honest guy.
Yes.
I've never seen somebody so lazy they couldn't use the both air quotes.
Dude, well, I have my blanket and I've got my hands covered up because it's so cold. So why can't I just do that? You know what I'm talking about when I do that.
Because
what's
that's
a big deal?
It's grammatically incorrect. It's grammatically incorrect.
Air quotes? No, I like that. I'm going to start something.
Polo is wearing a t-shirt.
It's one arm.
How is it that you're so cold?
I'm telling you, it is. I don't care what anybody
Polo,
else
are you cold
says.
In there?
Of course he's not.
I was talking to Polo. Don't be a poloist.
Sorry.
No, I'm good.
Is it cold in there?
No, yes. But I mean, I've got built-in insulation, so.
Wow.
I mean,
okay, there you go. By the way, Zach called in and said, suggesting that it should be Diamond and Silk.
Oh, that's another good choice.
Can you imagine how good that would be if Diamond and Silk were the press secretaries?
That would be a show every day.
Every single day. People would make an appointment to watch that. Yes. Let me go to the phone line. It's going to be Linda on line two. Linda, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, Abuda, Carrie. just real quick, Sarah is incredible. I don't know how they're going to replace her. I mean, that gal is just sharp. So
good. I mean, you're absolutely right. You need somebody in there who's going to look at the media like she has and not take any crap. And it's going to be hard to find. It really is.
I don't know how she suffered the reporters. I mean, their questions are so ignorant. And she just handled herself so well with those people. So
could not agree more. Linda, thank you. Let me go to Joe before we run out of time in West Virginia. Joe, make it fast. Come on.
Okay, man, I'll tell you what. Somebody stole my thunder, but it's Candace Owens. Candace Owens, I saw her take a congressman apart in a hearing once. And there's just absolutely nobody that's going to be able to fill Sarah's shoes like she could. She was standing in the shadow of Sarah. Sarah has more guts than 80% of all conservatives and 100% of all Democrats. So, but Candace Owens would just be ideal. She did that, took that congressman apart bit by bit.
I think it was Jerry Nadler, and I appreciate it, Joe. Thank you. I think it was Nadler. Remember when he alleged that she called a member of Congress stupid?
Oh, yes,
and she
I
never
do.
Did?
Yeah. Well, that was good.
And
her response to that, that was good.
Did not pause, did not hesitate, did not anything. Just said, I didn't say that. Mm-hmm. This is what I said. And he leans back and goes, okay, continue. Like he didn't even know what to say to her.
Yeah. He wasn't listening in the first place.
That would be an interesting pick, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that
exactly
would be interesting.
Right.
I like that one. I like that a lot.
It would be. We'll see if we can get her back on the show. It's been a while. We'll see if we can get Candace back on the program to talk about that. I wonder how she would feel about that nomination. Right, she's busy doing other stuff, but we'll see. Yeah. It's 888-941-PAGS. Paul Kengor. He was written a book about Pope John Paul II and Ronald Reagan that you're going to want to hear. Keep it here.
Joe Pags.
Buffalo, hit up your smart speaker.
Alexa, wake me up with 1200 WOAI on iHeartRadio.
I set your alarm.
Great radio stations across the land, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. Also Newsmax TV. It's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you here. Really glad to have this guy back. He's an author. His name is Paul Kilgore. Kengor. Sorry, Paul. It's Dr. Paul Kengor. We had you on about a year and a half ago, and I guess it went so badly it took me a year and a half to get you back. What's that all about, Paul?
Hey, you can call me anytime. I'm always happy to talk to you. It's your fault, not mine.
It is my fault. And by the way, I told you before we started, and again, let me make sure you get the name right. It's Dr. Paul Kengor, K-E-N-G-O-R. I want the shirt. Love the shirt. Now, you got that where at the Reagan Ranch? Where did you get that?
Well, I got it from the Reagan Ranch. Unfortunately, okay. I'm not at the Reagan Ranch right now, but the weather would be nice, though. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, exactly right. You've got a book out called The Divine Plan that you wrote with Robert Orlando. And The Divine Plan tells a history, a very important history, that I believe, and I think you believe, that the new generation doesn't get. They don't understand what the Pope and the President did to stop communism, this rampant violent socialism, and basically to take down the Soviet Union and the Iron Curtain. I mean, that's really what we're talking about, right?
Well, that's right. And actually, it's ironic that we're having this conversation right now, Joe, because it was 40 years ago this week, or at least this time, you know, June 1979, that John Paul II returned to Poland as, you know, he left there as Cardinal Karol Wojtyła, and he returned as the Bishop of Rome. Yeah. And so to go back home, this hometown boy, I mean, there had never been a Polish pope. There had never been a Slavic pope. And there had been nothing but Italian popes for 455 years.
Right.
So that was really extraordinary. And the people came around in massive crowds to greet him. They were ecstatic. He chooses for his first platform a place called Victory Square.
Right.
Profound symbolic importance there, June 2nd, 1979. And he makes an amazing statement. He says exactly what the communists feared the most. He said there can be no just Europe without the independence of Poland marked on its map. And the people who he told be not afraid, as the secret police crowded in from all around the outside and the perimeter, started chanting, "We want God. We want God."
Wow.
And they weren't chanting, "We want Marx. We want Lenin. Right? We want Brezhnev." Right? They were chanting, "We want God." And somebody who watched this from his home in California, and for the book and also the film, The Divine Plan, we actually interviewed the man who sat with Reagan in his home and watched this with Reagan, Richard V. Allen. Allen and Reagan were discussing foreign policy. Allen was Reagan's foreign policy advisor at the time. They turned on the TV set to catch the evening news, and Allen said, "I looked over at Reagan, and there was a tear in his eye." Said, "I usually didn't see that kind of reaction from Reagan."
Right.
And he was so moved by the crowds that came out to see the Pope. And he said, "Dick, that's it, that's it, that's it. The Pope is the key, the Pope is the key, the Pope is the key. We've got to find a way to get elected," which is not easy to do.
Right.
"We've got to find a way to get elected, and we've got to reach out to this new Polish Pope and the Vatican and make them an ally."
It's Dr. Paul Kengor. Get his book along with Robert Orlando, The Divine Plan. It's out now. It came out a few days ago. And had the Pope been, by the way, I've never heard his real name before. Say it again. Is it Karol something?
Yeah, Karol Wojtyła.
Nice. Had the Pope been of some other. Oh, it really doesn't. He's like Pagliarulo, my real name.
John Paul II is easier.
It's much easier, especially for us English speakers. Had it been somebody from somewhere else other than Poland, would this have gone down?
No, that's a good question. And I mean, Reagan saw this as the work of divine providence, as you know, the divine plan. I mean, Ronald Reagan, I mean, you assume, of course, that Pope would think this way, right? But Reagan had been raised since a young man by his mother, who was Protestant, Disciples of Christ denomination. She had taught him to see everything through the lens of God's plan. And you know, Reagan wrote throughout his memoirs. He told his friends throughout his life, he would say, this or that thing happened because God intended it to. And his mother really drilled into his head the idea that Ronnie, even if this bad thing happens, right, that this could be happening according to a divine purpose that God has intended. And if you're just faithful and you seek to do God's will, things will work out for the best in the end. And so Reagan was already sort of habituated into thinking that way. That was part of his theology. It's part of his very makeup. So to see the Pope come out of Poland, which was the one country in the communist empire, the communist bloc, the Soviet Empire in Eastern Europe, where the communist war on religion, as Mikhail Gorbachev called it, completely failed. Lech Walesa, the head of the Solidarity Movement, said, they try to take away our Bibles. They try to tell us God doesn't exist. They try to close our churches. And guess what? We believe in God. We have our Bibles, and our churches are full. So for the conclave, which in the Sistine Chapel, which the previous pope had only been pope for 33 days.
Right.
And that's that. So for them to pick the first Slavic pope ever, the first Polish pope ever, the first non-Italian in 455 years, right smack in the middle of the communist bloc, Poland, in the middle of the Cold War, Ronald Reagan, who wasn't Catholic, you know, saw that, as did so many people around the world, as, well, this has got to be part of a divine plan.
It is The Divine Plan. That's the name of the book, and I guess the movie as well. Didn't realize that. Dr. Paul Kengor, K-E-N-G-O-R, wrote it with Robert Orlando. So the president becomes the president. The pope is already the pope. Both survive assassination attempts. Does that bring them closer? Does that make them realize when they both survive that, well, obviously somebody's looking out for us, so we have to get this done now?
They did, and they saw that as completely providential as well. And in fact, John Paul II liked to say, coincidences is what a believer calls divine providence, nice. Right? But they saw it that way. Ronald Reagan had wanted to meet with John Paul II, obviously, since June 1979, if not even October 1978, had to become president first. He's sworn in January of 1981. They immediately, Joe, they started their staffs, started looking for ways to try to get them together. And then, of all things, Ronald Reagan was shot March 30th, 1981, by John Hinckley. Right. Outside the Washington Hilton in D.C. And then just 6 weeks after that, everybody forgets this today. And we all sort of remember, oh, yeah, Reagan was shot. John Paul II was shot, too. They were shot just 6 weeks apart.
Wow.
And they both could have very easily bled to death. So they finally did get together in June 1982 at the Vatican. They met at the Vatican Library one-on-one for about an hour. And they said to one another, they confided to one another that they believed that God had spared their lives for a special purpose, which was to take down Soviet communism. And imagine this, the non-Polish, non-Catholic president says to the Polish, obviously Catholic Pope,
right.
He said, Pope remains in Poland, in your country. And he said, we working together can keep it alive. And that was sweet music to this Pope's ears. So they tried to figure out a way to sustain the Solidarity Movement in Poland, which had been banned under martial law by the communists.
Right.
They tried to find a way to keep it alive so it could be the wedge to split the communist bloc.
Dr. Paul Kengor, K-E-N-G-O-R, they certainly did that. Here's a question, a hypothetical, that I think with your knowledge you could answer. How would that pope and that president feel about what we're seeing in Venezuela today, North Korea today, China today? In China, they're arresting and locking up Muslims and Christians and so on because they dare be people of faith. How would they feel about what we're seeing in Venezuela, people killing each other in the streets and eating their dogs because there isn't enough to go around because of overwhelming, we call it democratic socialism, Paul, but it's not, right. It's communism. How would they feel about that? Would they be surprised that it's reemerging?
They wouldn't be surprised. They'd be appalled. And, you know, it's interesting. China was one place that John Paul II, who they often referred to him as the globe-trotting pope, right? No pope in history ever traveled as much as he did, visited so many different countries. And yet the one that he really wanted to go to was China. And China didn't let him in.
Because they saw what was happening in Poland, they saw what was happening in the Soviet Union. They were afraid that it could happen there. I mean, you know, if you let people worship as they see fit, they're going to rise above and they'll control the country, not let the government do it. That's the whole game, right?
That's exactly right. And in fact, Reagan and John Paul II met together five times. And this would have been the second time was in Fairbanks, Alaska in May 1984. Now, that seems like a weird spot, but Reagan was coming back from just speaking in China. Fudan University, Shanghai, a number of different places where Reagan spoke very openly about his faith. It's really, really remarkable what Reagan did. Talked about inalienable rights, Thomas Jefferson and everything. So he was flying back from Asia, and John Paul II was coming across, and their scheduler saw that, wow, they could both stop for refueling in Alaska. Let's get these guys together. At that point, it had been a couple years. And they talked about that China trip. And you could even see John Paul II is sort of like, wow, right? He's envious that, and you can always see Reagan saying, "Oh yeah, then I told him about Thomas Jefferson. I told him about God that gives you these rights, also gives you this." And John Paul II just sort of thinking to himself, "Yeah, nice. Wish I could do that." So they and of course John Paul II went to Cuba, and a lot of Cubans to this day will tell you that he going there in the end of the 1990s, I think it was 1998-99.
Yeah.
That really was really key to helping to open up a little bit Cuba. So he really wanted to go to China.
Well, I think Reagan's visit and what was happening around the world, and I'm willing to be wrong about this, you're the expert, let me know, but I think that probably is what led to Tiananmen Square and probably what led to thousands and thousands of young people saying, look, we just want some freedom. And the reports are about 7,000 were killed by the government there that day. If you look it up on Google in China, where I went and adopted our daughter, it says one person died by accident because of a ricocheting bullet. It was about 7,000 people that were killed, run over by tanks because they dared stand up. And I would have to believe, after hearing what you just said, Reagan's visit could have been what caused that?
Well, it's interesting, yeah, that they would say only one person died from a ricochet. What would Reagan have said, Joe? He would have said what he said in his first press conference, right? They lie, they steal, they cheat, right? Yep. That's what the communists do. This is very interesting. I wrote a piece on this for American Spectator this week. People can check it out, and it's called Spiting Poland's Communist. And then I don't think I can say the word, but it's a curse word. It's a quote from a Polish citizen who was there in June 1979. But a lot of people don't connect this. Last week was the anniversary of Tiananmen Square.
Barely even heard about. Yeah.
Yeah. That same day, history has just kind of missed this. Poland held free and fair elections on June 4th, 1989. That was 10 years after the Pope's trip, almost 10 years to the day that he spoke in Victory Square. It was 44 years since elections were promised at Yalta by FDR and Churchill and Stalin that never came. Those elections in Poland in June 1989, that's what lit the fuse that eventually ran all the way to the Berlin Wall. That would blow up the foundation of the Berlin Wall several months earlier in November 1989.
And it doesn't happen if not for this pact and this friendship between these two incredible leaders. The Divine Plan is the name of the book. His name is Dr. Paul Kengor, K-E-N-G-O-R. He wrote it with Robert Orlando. Doctor, I hope you sell a million of these books, and let's do it again very soon.
Absolutely, Joe. Thank you.
Really appreciate the time. Back after this on the Joe Pags Show. You stay right here.
JoePags.com.
I need to be aware.
Being aware of the world around you is important. So we're feeding your need to know 24/7 at the top and bottom of the hour. News Radio 1200 WOAI.
Hi, great to have you. Welcome to the program, The Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS. Your thoughts on the interview with Dr. Paul Kengor? Looks like a very interesting read. The president and the pope. And again, without those two men doing what they did, the Soviet Union is probably still united. The Iron Curtain doesn't fall. Berlin Wall doesn't come crumbling down. And people having the right globally to worship as they see fit would not be happening. As we mentioned during the interview, first thing the government does is go for your guns. You don't need a gun. We'll protect you. Second thing they go for is your religion, because you need to believe that the central government is God. And if you don't, you're the problem. So interesting. I hope you go and get the book. Very, very interesting to talk to the doctor. We'll talk to him again. Your thoughts on that? 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Kerry, I often talk about climate change, global warming, the farce that it is. And one of the reasons why I say it's a farce is because I can watch the local weather guy. And as fun as they are to watch, and a lot of them are entertainers. Have you ever watched the local weather in like L.A.?
I have not. No.
They will put on a show.
Mm.
Now, I haven't seen Dallas Rains in a long time. That was the guy's name.
Dallas Rains.
The weather out at
wow.
Yes. And there's also Johnny Mountain. I don't even know if Johnny Mountain still does the news. I don't know. But these guys will put on a show, going to pose and point and, hey, look at the weather front. It's like a real entertaining thing, you know?
Got it.
But by and large, meteorologists, and most of them get their degree from the University of Mississippi, like online or something, but meteorologists on television are not very accurate. They can be wrong. What do I use the number? 40%, 50% of the time?
Mm-hmm.
And they still keep their jobs as if they're good at it. Yeah. Well, now there's a story. Have you seen this story that they're doing some sort of an upgrade in the software?
No, really?
They're updating the software. And I guess this is going to make the weather forecasting better than it's been. This is from MSN, so it could be fake, via the New York Times, so probably is fake. A software upgrade after 40 years aims to improve U.S. weather forecasts. Aiming to reduce errors like the one made in 2012 when a wrongly forecast the track of Hurricane Sandy in the New York area, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, that's NOAA to you and me, Carrie.
Yes.
NOAA. Said on Wednesday, they introduced a major upgrade to the software at the heart of its weather prediction capability. Using huge amounts of computing power, the software known as Global Forecast Systems, or GFS, models the physics of global weather, taking data from satellites and sensors to produce predictions of conditions in upcoming hours and days. Meteorologists around the world rely on it for making forecasts. So in other words, they're admitting that their software sucked for all these years.
Ooh, that's not good. That's not good.
Climate change, global warming, and cow farts are killing us all. We'll be dead in a dozen years, about 11 and a half years now. Turns out the software was all crap. Now they have to update it. So can you imagine they update the computer and they're like, that, never mind, it's not happening. You know what I mean?
Just kidding.
Can you imagine if that's the result?
Wow.
Nah, we're just kidding.
That'll be something. That'll be a story.
It's just joking. Now, if this new software does find that, of course, the software will be called totalitarian. It'll be called Hitler. It'll be called Trump paid somebody off to redesign it because obviously global warming, climate change is really happening. Yeah. So that's interesting. We're going to be updating the. So maybe we'll actually get a good forecast going forward, pop culture.
Awesome. Fip.
Dirty pop.
Paul, I'm going to show you, but you're frozen. I don't know why.
All right, so yesterday
now you're kind of not.
Okay. So yesterday I was telling about the whole Cuba Gooding Jr. thing. Today he did turn himself in. And
really?
Yeah, and here it does say that he got booked for misdemeanor, forcible touching, and sexual abuse in the third degree. I've seen the video. They do have the video out now. The crazy thing is he does, in fact, touch the woman's leg, and he may have touched her chest. But the weird thing is his girlfriend is sitting right in between the two of them.
So, I mean, does that appear to be incidental, or it looks like he did it on purpose?
Well, he leans over, and he's, like, talking to her, and he puts his arm on her leg, and then he may have, you know, touched her breast or whatever, but his girlfriend's right in the middle. So it's, like, weird. I don't know.